is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Today's edition of the Paul McGuire Report is what I consider one of the most important programs that I've ever done. And I've been on the air for decades and decades. Now, I've done many important programs that contained a lot of important truth that people needed to hear. But the overall message today, I can't say is the most important thing that I've ever said, but it contains one of the most important messages, and it's an important message that is so vital for the time period that we live in that if we, who are the people that claim to be the children of God, Christians claim to be the children of God because they have repented of their sins before the Lord Jesus Christ. They have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they have been made born again by putting their faith in Christ. That is the most important message I've ever shared on the Paul McGuire Report or any other media production that I've done. But that truth is deeper than just that. That's the critical truth. That is the most important truth, because without understanding and acting on that truth, no one can be saved. And of course, salvation is the most important thing, because no matter what we do in this present world system, no matter how much we try to repair, fix, heal this present world system, it is in a rapid decline, just like the Bible predicted with great precision in all the passages of the Bible that deal with Bible prophecy. What the Bible describes is a time period that you and I now live in. This time period, it's no longer like, well, maybe we live in the time period, maybe we don't. I think it's a general agreement among most people, both Christian and secular, that we live in the last days. Now, not everybody believes in God. Not everybody is going to turn to Christ and ask for salvation. But the predominant percentile of people in nations that have access to media and information and communications, and that would be nations like the USA and Canada, Mexico, South America, all of North America, of course, the European Union, nations in the Middle East, nations in Asia, nations in Africa, and all over the world where technology proliferates, especially computer, internet, satellite, cell phone technology, you have an explosion of information. So despite the fact that the big tech companies were in Washington, D.C., and I didn't study a whole lot of it carefully because, and I'd like to hear your feedback, by the way, but from what I reviewed of the statements and the video featuring the heads of the big tech companies, you know, the big shots that own the big social media giants, what I saw, first of all, is that they were arrogant. It's not that they're arrogant that is necessarily the problem. It's the arrogance that communicates a tremendous amount about their inner character. When somebody is arrogant, and I want to be very careful here because there's a lot of Christians who, as you know, Dr. Francis Schaeffer was one of the greatest biblical evangelical theologians of the last 125 years. He was a spiritual giant. He was culturally relevant. He's gone on to be with in heaven. But Dr. Francis Schaeffer was a strong critic of the evangelical church because he saw that the evangelical church was incrementally surrendering all the truth of the scripture, that the evangelical church was apostate and incrementally surrendering biblical truth and a biblical worldview. In other words, Schaeffer would have said that Christian leaders in our time, the heads of the megachurches, the heads of the seminaries, the Christian seminaries and colleges, many people in prominent ministries and Christian authors, etc. Schaeffer would have said, and he wasn't trying to be unkind, he knew what he was talking about. He said that evangelical Christianity was the greatest sin of evangelical Christianity was accommodating to the spirit of this present world system, of changing your belief system, your actions, the way you live. Evangelical Christians, he said, were busy conforming and behaving like the children of the world system. They were not behaving, thinking, and operating their lives from a biblical worldview. That, in the eyes of God, is a titanic sin. A titanic sin. Now, I don't know if you saw the movie The Titanic or not, and I'm not here to promote the movie. There's an objectionable scene or two in it. Okay, so the policy that I have, standing policy I have, is I see different movies. I don't exempt myself from moral standards, okay? But because I'm a writer and a filmmaker, and this is not just some flimsy excuse, I have to be able to go in certain meetings, do certain things where I'm interacting with Hollywood professionals in the entertainment business. And so it's a necessity that I view many different kinds of films and programs, etc. Now, if you have a strong biblical worldview, and I don't want to cause any of my brothers and sisters in Christ to stumble, if you are young in the Lord, even if you've been with the Lord for 10 or 20 years, we're in a spiritual battle, and you don't want to inadvertently expose your inner man or woman to things that would defile your soul, so to speak. But I have to be able to see certain films that I can't, in good conscience, recommend to everybody, such as the objectionable scene I was talking about in Titanic. The Titanic is a brilliant film. It's a work of art. It's an unusual... The Titanic, directed by James Cameron, is a work of cinematic art. It's one of the greatest films ever made. And it's because it's a masterpiece, because he mastered the art form of making a film. Now, in that film, there's one or two scenes that I would consider morally objectionable, that I would consider not appropriate for young children. Okay, and it may not be appropriate for certain adults. You know, I'll be very honest with you. I have not talked about this publicly in a while. But I remember on the Paul McGuire Show, the previous program that I did for 10 years on AM and FM stations in just about every major market in the United States, I had a lot of soccer moms. That's what they called them back then, listening to my show in the early hours of my drive time show. And they would addictively tune in because I would deal with topics that were relevant to the soccer moms, but I would also deal with biblical worldview and all kinds of stuff. And I wanted to be very careful because a lot of soccer moms in California and other states, but especially Southern California, the state of California, and many other states, these soccer moms, I'm talking about huge numbers of female mothers, well, all mothers are female, basically, within certain variations. The point is that these soccer moms would pick up their children from school. Sometimes they would be in charge of carpooling. And I would end up talking every single day to an SUV or a minivan or a car usually packed with preteens and teens, and sometimes younger than that. And the mothers, the majority of the women that listen to my program would turn up the volume of my show, which lasted 3 to 4 hours every day, Monday through Friday. And these people would be stuck in traffic for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And they would make their children listen to my show because my show would break the ice on adult-oriented topics and insert biblical truth in a way that was non-threatening to the young people in the car. And yet, I would deal with reality so I could equip young people for reality in a secular world. But when it came to certain topics of conversation, because I never knew what age category the people were in the cars, I was asked by mothers to give a heads up or a warning, which I regularly do now. If I'm transitioning to a more mature, adult-oriented theme that or a discussion that is important, but is not suitable for very young ears, or it's not suitable for people at different ages. So that's my commitment, because I don't want to rub innocent children or anybody through, you know, some smutty. I mean, it's not like I was trying to be irreverent or indelicate or whatever, but you know the kind of world. In any case, this movement that is moving very quickly, and so many people, because of the incremental changes, are coming so quickly. And this is what I've been pointing out for decades. I heard somebody brag, and I had more power to him. I pray for the person. I'm blessed by this person's ministry. I like this person, so I'm not saying anything negative towards somebody. More power to him. But I had to laugh to myself. And I was laughing at myself. I wasn't laughing at them. But they were talking about the fact that they were on some kind of TV show or internet thing or whatever, and they were talking about the fact that they were in the ministry such a long time, like 13 years. And I laughed. 13 years, man. I've been in the ministry. I have been in the ministry for 40 plus years. And it seems like yesterday, right? So 40 plus years, I've been married to one wife for 40 plus years. My darling wife, Christina, who I love deeply. Actually, she was an actress when I met her in Manhattan, New York City. She was a Christian actress. But like many Christian actresses, she was very naive and idealistic. She, I don't want to get into her credentials, but she has some very, very impressive acting credentials. And I'll leave it at that. But I remember talking to her relatively recently, and she was telling me that the reason, and I remember her saying this to me early on in our marriage, because when I first married my wife, she was an actress. I was a producer, promoter of contemporary Christian music concerts. I was also like a youth minister. I would lead people to Christ and be the onstage host of the Lamb's Club. And thousands of people came to the Lord. We had, you know, a lot of people don't know this. The Jesus movement primarily occurred in Southern California, San Francisco. But a lot of people don't, and some other places, that was the main part. But a lot of people don't know that the Jesus movement also exploded in a different way, because New York City is about concrete and steel and skyscrapers, not about beaches. But there was a Jesus movement that was very powerful in New York City and Manhattan and Times Square. And I was one of the ministers. There was about three of us. Paul Moore was the head minister, great man of God. And we preached the gospel right there live on Times Square. We invited the biggest contemporary Christian music acts. We'd fly them in from all over the country. We had telethons, Christian theater. And by the grace of God, the Spirit of God was poured out, and thousands of people were born again and saved. And there's a huge story about all that, because all these, not all of them, but a lot of these Jesus movement people who moved from the West Coast ended up in Manhattan at the Lambs Club, and there's a whole story of that. And to attempt to tell the story of the Jesus movement, or to attempt to relive the Jesus movement and ignore the New York City, Manhattan, Times Square, Broadway, Central Park, epicenter of the Jesus movement on the East Coast is like crazy. I mean, you're not historically or adequately covering the Jesus movement. All you're doing is showing the West Coast snippet when there was a massive move of God in Manhattan, New York City. And it's amazing, and I don't want to get into it, but it influenced the rest of the world. Okay, so the critical thing here is that we are moving at lightning speed right now. Bible prophecy is unfolding at lightning speed. Now, if I go back to those days of the Jesus movement, and you got to remember that I was attending the, I was born in New York City, raised in New York City when I was 15 years old, member of the radical counterculture, demonstrating with Abby Hoffman, hanging out with Timothy Leary, deeply involved with the counterculture, the radicals of the counterculture, and I was involved with the leaders of the counterculture, people like Ken Kesey, who wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test was about him. The poet Allen Ginsberg that George Soros used to hang out with before Soros became who he became. Abby Hoffman, the radical activist. Many radical activists were in Manhattan. The East Village was in Manhattan. I used to hang out there at Fillmore East, where the rock concert promoter Bill Graham would have the biggest acts in the world were there. Led Zeppelin, The Doors, Jefferson Airplane, not Starship, Jefferson Airplane, and Jethro Tull, and Led Zeppelin, and you know, on and on and on, and all in the East Village on St. Mark's Place. That's where I hung out. So, and we participated. We were trained. I was trained at 14 years old in how to demonstrate with the radical activists who were demonstrating in Manhattan. And in Washington, D.C. Okay, so, and then the whole thing went bad because it was based on the whole counterculture went bad. And the Jesus movement eventually devolved for similar reasons. The counterculture, which was love, sex, peace, joy, you know, supposed to be flower children and peace. And you saw the pictures of some flower child hippie girl putting a flower in the barrel of a National Guardsman's gun. It was a very, very serene scene of a revolution. So what happened is that because the entire counterculture, just like the counterculture, the protesters, the Antifa and Black Lives Matter, all of those Marxist ideologies, all those communist game plans are built on the faulty foundation of a very despotic totalitarian dictatorship. That's where they take you. Now, the kids demonstrating, they haven't woken up yet. They don't know history. They've been dumbed down by the school system. So, since that time period, and this was in 1976, when I was dating my wife, walking around Manhattan during the bicentennial of the United States of America, and there was tremendous fireworks and stuff. So since that period to the time period we now live in, our culture has made a massive, massive shift. And we now have millions of people that are disenfranchised from quote, traditional churches, from traditional evangelical Christianity. We have a lot of people that are hungry for God, but they want some substance, they want some truth, they want some answers, and they're not interested in just playing church. So they don't go to any church, except maybe what they see in social media. Those are the people that we're reaching here daily at Paul McGuire Ministries Paradise Mountain Church. Our outreach is 24/7, goes all around the world, and we're not trying to win everyone, because if you try to win everyone, you're going to end up winning no one. You have to. I asked the Lord years ago when I was first saved, I said, Lord, this is what I literally said to the Lord. I was first saved. I was radical in the counterculture, long hair, psychedelic drugs, majoring in psychology and altered states of consciousness, dual major of filmmaking at the University of Missouri. And I asked the Lord, I said, after I got saved, I asked the Lord to use me. I committed my life to the Lord. And I asked the Lord to send me to reach the people who were the most alienated, the most turned off, the most disgusted by Christianity. I said, Lord, give me those people. I want to reach the hardest-hearted people for Jesus. I'm not interested in reaching nice religious people. Give me the toughest cases, Lord. And then I also said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I literally said this. It may mean nothing to you, depending upon how old you are, but I'll share it anyway. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to win more people to Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I want to lead more people to Christ than Dr. Timothy Leary turned on to LSD. Now, that probably doesn't mean anything to you, so I'm going to have to break it down. Timothy Leary was a Harvard professor, Dr. Timothy Leary, of psychology at, I can't remember what school, was it Yale or Harvard? Harvard, the Harvard psychologist, Dr. Timothy Leary. And he was also the first Harvard psychiatrist, Ivy League psychiatrist, to work with think tanks. And he began to personally experiment with the psychedelic drug LSD. And he began to promote LSD all across the nation on national television shows with his little slogan, turn on, tune in, drop out. Now, Timothy Leary was a Harvard professor, the LSD guru prophet. It turns out he was working in some capacity for or with the CIA. Interestingly enough, I tell his story in my book, A Prophecy of the Future of America. And he turned on, along with Ken Kesey, together the two of them probably turned on hundreds of thousands or millions of people to taking a very dangerous psychedelic drug called LSD. Why is LSD dangerous? Because LSD came to us from the Nazi mind control scientists in World War II. When World War II ended, as I explained, the real secret truth, I exposed the never told secret truth of LSD and the Nazi mind control scientists in my books, Conquering the Matrix, and in the book, A Prophecy of the Future of America. And what I explain is that when America was in the 60s and 70s, we experienced a counterculture revolution. Many of you have seen movies of it, stuff like that. The countercultural revolution of the hippies, of Charles Manson and the Manson family, and Woodstock, and all the drugs, sex, and rock and roll, and all that stuff. That was not just some spontaneous youth movement. That was not just the product of rebellious youth rebelling. That is not what that whole thing was about. The counterculture in the United States of America, along with sex, drugs, rock and roll, LSD, you know, Eastern mysticism, the occult, that whole package was a planned cultural invasion and assault on a Judeo-Christian biblical America. Now, we have to really understand this. Now, here's the tragic and pathetic thing, and I'm sorry if I'm going to sound a little rude, and I'm not trying to insult anybody, so please understand that. I'm not trying to insult anybody, but I have to shoot it straight, and I have to shoot it with some force, otherwise nothing happens. All these Christian pastors and all these Christian leaders and all these Christian seminary professors who have absolutely no idea about what I'm talking about need to get off their unrighteous posteriors, yes, I said it, and crack open books and study and understand what happened to our America in the last 70 years, because it has been torn down by a demonic plan, and pastors don't have a clue, so how can they fight it? This is what went down, and I'm going to tell you something, which is the brutal truth, and you deal with it. This is what went down, and this is why we're here where we are now, and it goes like this. Around the 60s, America, the American middle class, the American working class, began to reject Christianity. They began to enjoy a certain amount of prosperity, a lot of drinking, a lot of sexual sin, people sleeping around, committing adultery, wild partying and stuff like that. And so the Christian foundations of our nation started to crack during the sexual revolution of the 1960s and 70s. This began to destroy Christianity. Now, what most of these pastors and seminary professors and Christians don't understand and youth leaders don't understand, and you better understand it, because if you don't understand it, you're not going to be able to reverse it. Because what happened in the 60s and 70s is now happening once again, except it's happening on steroids, and it's moving with such a power and a speed that it could potentially topple America as a free nation ruled by we the people. We will, by default, collapse into a Marxist communist dictatorship where we lose all our freedoms and rights. Hope you've woken up. So, here's the deal. The whole counterculture, Woodstock, sex, love, drugs, rock and roll, the whole thing, was part of a methodical marketing business plan, sociological takeover developed by the Frankfurt School Marxists in Frankfurt School, at the Frankfurt School in Germany. These were secret police, Russian communist, KGB-trained professors and intellectuals who set up shop in 1920 in Frankfurt, Germany, and they started the Frankfurt School. Now listen carefully to what their number one goals were. And this was in 1920. Their basic goal was to ignite a communist revolution in the European Union nations and in America by igniting a cultural Marxist revolution. So their number one goal was to destroy the religion of Christianity. Their number two goal was to destroy Christian marriage, Christian morality. Number three, to destroy any biblical sense of an absolute right or an absolute wrong. Number four, destroy completely patriotism. And finally, destroy nationalism. And that's what they've been doing since 1920, primarily through the educational system, while the Christian pastors slept, while the seminaries slept, while many famous Christian leaders slept, while many famous Christian ministers slept. Our nation has been stolen, plundered, raped, and is on the verge of decapitation if this Marxist coup continues unchecked. So, the crack in the wall was this. Internally, inside the Christian church, among the pastors, the seminaries, etc., What was more devious than the assault by the Frankfurt School Marxists was the fact that internally in the Christian church, you had pastors, ordinary Christians, seminary professors and stuff. They all began to stop believing the Word of God. They all began to stop believing in the biblical God as defined by the Bible. They were weakened spiritually before the enemy came. Therefore, because they were weakened spiritually, they could not see the obvious. And I want to explain to you what it means to see the obvious. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is one of the most important programs containing one of the most important messages that I believe I've given. And I ask you to spread this message far and wide. We don't have much time. And to spread the message far and wide and to use your gifts and talents and abilities to go around censorship to get people to print or air this program and get this message going. Without your help, with your help, we can change the direction of a nation, by the way. This takes a dedicated minority. So I need your help. And I know you'll respond because I know you feel the burden for this nation like I do. It's unbearable, isn't it? The burden I have for America right now is off the Richter scale because I see the enormity of the danger. So you can visit paulmcguire.us and send the links of this program, our video programs, our books, our free articles, archives of the program. Spread paulmcguire.us far and wide. Get people to we don't have a huge advertising budget. I don't feel right about buying extra names on Facebook or extra names on YouTube. I'm not going to buy people. I'm not going to buy numbers. I'd rather have smaller numbers that are real than have artificially inflated numbers that I purchased. You know, you can buy numbers and names and to make your social media look like it's more impressive. I'm not going to do that. Let the politicians do that. Okay, so here's the critical thing. The greatest mistake that the body of Christ and good men and women are making here in the United States, here in other nations in the world, the greatest mistake people are making is this. Because they themselves are not necessarily satanically evil people, they have a mental block from being able to perceive the reality of satanically controlled people and exactly and precisely what satanically controlled people are not only capable of doing, but have an historical track record of doing in our nation and other nations. This is hard for people that are Christians to get. This is hard for the average working class and middle class person to get. Because whether we live up to it or not, we try to aspire to some level of godliness, morality, truth-telling, virtue, etc., etc. And if we're Christians and we're truly born again, we have the Holy Spirit in us and we renew our mind with the Word of God. So, as such, to whatever degree, we're walking in the light as he's in the light. And we're not creatures of the darkness. So it's really hard for us. See, this is our Achilles heel. On one hand, it's an innocence, which is beautiful before God, just like an innocent child. Innocence and purity is a beautiful thing. If God's people are all corrupted and defiled, they don't have any innocence or purity. But the danger is that when you live in a fallen world, and this is the expectation that God has for you, when you live in a fallen world, it's not enough to possess innocence and virtue. Because what will happen is you have to always remember that planet Earth is the toughest battlefield in the universe. Planet Earth is in an all-out spiritual war between Satan or Lucifer and the fallen angels and all the men and women who receive the mark of the beast and the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, the angels of God, and all the followers of God and all the angels of God. We're in a titanic warfare that's wrapping up, according to Bible prophecy. It's wrapping up, and Christ is about ready to return to planet Earth with the armies of heaven at the second coming. He's going to descend upon Jerusalem with the armies of heaven. He's going to descend upon the Valley of Megiddo, where the War of Armageddon is occurring. And the armies of the world, the ships of the world, the fighter jets of the world, are going to be shooting missiles and nuclear weapons at Jesus Christ as he returns to Earth riding a white horse along with the armies of heaven. The Earth's armies are going to try to use lasers and energy beam weapons and missiles. They're going to try to blow up Jesus Christ and the armies of heaven. You say, that's crazy. That's madness. Nobody would do that. You're right. It is crazy. It is madness. Nobody in their right mind would do that. But let's remember something here. This is critical. You know, we've got to, you know, stop going to churches and feeding yourself a spiritual diet of Lucky Charms or you know, what are the things, Lucky Charms and what's the Cocoa Puffs and Fruit Loops? The average Christian in America has a spiritual diet of Fruit Loops, Cocoa Puffs, and Pop-Tarts. You'll get a little sugar high, and then you'll die. No, I'm serious. That's not. You can't function on that poor quality of nutrition. So what am I getting at here? You say, Paul, what are you getting at? You must know this truth. You must own this truth. You must possess this truth, and you must use this truth as God would have you use it. Because it's only when you use this truth that you'll be able to defeat the demonic powers in the adversary. Now, here's the truth. The evil one is taking all the minds and the hearts and the consciousness of all the people on planet Earth right now. This is why I've called my latest book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. Because it is, at this second, we are in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. There's no exaggeration there. None whatsoever. The book, I wrote that book, and it came out 2 months before the coronavirus, the economic crisis, the riots, yet it contained information about all of that stuff. I didn't name the coronavirus, but I talked about at length about bacteriological warfare, immune systems, autoimmune diseases, 5G, a lot of other things. Okay, so here's the critical thing. In this world, what's really driving all the conflicts and the problems and the spiritual battles that we're facing right now in the United States and globally, what's really going on behind the scene of the political realm, the economic realm, and other realms, what's really going on is you and I are in what the military would call a military theater. A military theater that the Army would define, and I'm not a colonel or something, and I'm open to refinement if one of our brothers or sisters from the armed forces wants to send me an email. I'll clarify what I'm saying. But the military uses terms for potential battlefields as military theaters. So, for example, if the Chinese were to invade the west coast of America through submarines, then the beach and the Pacific Ocean would be, that area would be one military theater. Another military theater might be the skies over the Midwest. Another military theater might be submarine warfare. or ICBM warfare, or biological warfare, or psyops, or psychological warfare might be another military theater. We just added a brand new military theater when we launched Space Force. Now we have a military theater in the stars in the sky. And we have multidimensional military theaters. But on top of all the traditionally designated military theaters, the primary military theater that exists in this created world, in this reality that we live in, the primary military theater is not acknowledged by the generals and the military scientists. In other words, because they have an unacknowledged internal bias against what they perceive to be religious or spiritual or biblical things, because they have an unacknowledged internal bias and prejudice, it blinds them from truly enjoying the results of the scientific method when it is followed with discipline. Because the scientific method states that you have to reject all bias, you have to reject all prejudice, and you make your scientific theory, or you prove your scientific theory purely on measurable, quantifiable scientific evidence and testing and trials. So you must use the scientific method, not your opinion, not your bias, not your prejudice, in order to discover scientific truth and acquire empirical evidence. But we don't have that today. We have a semblance of it. There is a great deal of pursuing of scientific truth, but there's a core bias that is irrational and non-scientific. And that core bias goes something like this. Well, there is no spiritual world. There can't be a supernatural or spiritual world, because the only world that is really real, the only world that scientifically is true and exists, is the material world. And the material world exists. We know we can prove that through our senses, like the sense of smell, the sense of touch, the sense of seeing and hearing. Our senses perceive material reality. So science says, because our senses validate material reality is real. And since our senses do not validate a spiritual dimension, a spiritual battlefield, then those are illusions. They're not scientific and they're not true. So invisible realm military theaters are fantasy. The problem with that is this. The scientific basis for that argument that there was no spiritual world, no invisible realm, no supernatural world, the scientific foundation for that theory was faulty. Because science long ago rejected the false idea that all of real reality has to be perceived by our physical senses or measured by certain kinds of instruments. We learned through the advent of quantum physics and string theory that there are multiple dimensions beyond the dimensions perceived by our physical senses. And those would be dimensions like the invisible world. Nikola Tesla's ether, where he gathered energy from another dimension. Multidimensional realities. Scalar technology. String theory. Quantum physics believes that there is somewhere between 12 and 13 different dimensions. These are unseen dimensions, such as the spiritual world, such as the dimension beyond time and space, such as the supernatural world. So you see, science And this is denied by many scientists currently. They're in denial. Many academic scholastics, don't reject the reality of multidimensional realities. But the reality of multidimensional realities, like the invisible realm and the spiritual realm, is authenticated by scientific fact, because quantum physics and string theory have proven irrefutably, using the scientific method, that we live in a universe that has at least 12 to 13 dimensions. Nikola Tesla discovered this, and so did many others. So that completely changes the scientific the scientific description of reality. Reality is no longer that which we perceive by physical senses alone. Reality is anything that exists, as long as we can measure it and prove it. So it's this Achilles heel of not willing to admit that at the core of our physical reality, at the core of our physical existence, there is a rebellion in God's people. There's a rebellion in secular people in the United States and all around the world, despite the scientific discoveries of quantum physics and string theory. There is this irrational, non-scientific method bias that there's no such thing as a spiritual world, supernatural, or invisible realm. But you see, the existence of those multidimensional realities have already been authenticated by the scientific method. Now, here's where we're going. And let's just stop right now. We need to pray. Lord Jesus, and I ask you to join with me in prayer right now. I'm very serious about this. Lord Jesus Christ, we humble ourselves before you, God. Lord, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that the power of the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon every person listening, that the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the Holy Spirit would move through me, and that I would say what you want said, Lord, with precision. And we pray, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that you would give supernatural understanding, supernatural revelation to every one of your people that want to know the truth that will set them free. We ask that you would honor their request right now and give them supernatural revelation and understanding right at this moment that's applicable to the spiritual warfare that we're involved in. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm going to share this with you, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will give you a supernatural revelation now and in the days to come of the powerful truth that's contained in this principle. And once again, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us. Be sure to send the link of this message to people and tell them why they need to hear it. Excuse me. We have a lot of weird air where the studio is, among other natural disasters, etc. Okay, so here's this powerful truth that God wants to impart to you today. If you receive this truth and you understand it, and then you use this truth, you will discover that you will see yourself operating in a power and anointing spiritually, and with your rational mind, that literally becomes a threat to the powers of darkness and to the devil. And let me explain what I mean. We see the riots, the protests. We see the horrible death of the African-American man who died with his neck crushed. It was hideous. We saw police innocently killed. We've seen riots in buildings. We've seen people die because of the coronavirus. We've seen the massive layoffs in jobs and the Federal Reserve and all kinds of other materialistic battles in this physical world. Now, the point that I'm trying to share with you is that God's principle is truth that sets you free. This truth is so powerful that it will rearrange any circumstance that you're in. There's no battle, there's no adversary, there's no challenge that you'll ever face that you will not be able to defeat or sustain yourself against that adversary with the supernatural power of God if you learn how to use it. So this is how it works. In all these situations we see, we're looking at conflicts, riots, murders, shootings, lootings, robbings, wars, rapes, crimes, all kinds of things. We're seeing it manifest itself physically. We perceive it through our senses in America and around the world. And it's wreaking havoc. Okay? We know that. So remember, we're looking at things like the coronavirus, the economic crisis, the job loss figures, the riots, the protests, the shootings, the killings, the dirty political games, the lying, the cheating, the betrayal of the American people by both political parties, by the way, by both political parties. Make no mistake about that. Still means you're responsible to vote. Still means when the day is done, you've got to vote for a particular party. No party's perfect. but both parties have their skeletons in the closet. All right. So what can God's people do in light of or in perspective of all these military theaters, these spiritual battlefields that are plainly operating in physical reality, and we can see them, on media, et cetera, et cetera. How do we handle all these physical reality problems that are very real? Okay, one way to handle them is with man's wisdom, intelligence, organizational structure, resources, medicine, et cetera, et cetera. The knowledge of all that is powerful and applicable. All of those things, those disciplines, and those studies are powerful and applicable and can help the situation. But if we want to take the most powerful weapon out of our arsenal, and if we truly want to win this war against destruction and death and chaos, then we need a weapon that is far more powerful, far more accurate, than the weapon that the devil is using. Because I'm talking about how to wage a victorious spiritual warfare, a law-abiding, peaceful spiritual warfare. How do we get victory? So we look at all these situations, and as we perceive them, we have to remind ourselves we are just looking at the physical military theaters, the physical conflicts. We know these physical contexts are there in our own families, etc., because we're experiencing them visually with our ears, smell, sight, sound, tactile senses. Our physical senses are verifying the reality of these battles against our society, our nation, our president, etc., etc. We understand that. But now we need a weapon far more powerful, and we need a weapon that moves beyond the dimensions of just physical, material reality. If indeed the very heart of the battle, if indeed the very center of the battle exists in a spiritual dimension or a different dimension called the spiritual world or the invisible realm or a parallel universe, if that's where the center of the battle is, if that's where the center of the conflict is, and according to the Bible, that is where the center of the conflict is. The like I said with the title of my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. This greatest battle is taking place in the minds, the hearts, the imaginations of millions and billions of people on planet Earth right now. So you have to use weapons and a strategy that focuses in on the central area of the battle and the conflict. And that central area, according to God's word, that's what the only thing that matters, the central area of the battlefield, of the conflict, of the war, is located in the spiritual realm, which is beyond the physical world. Remember, quantum physics says we have somewhere between 12 and 13 dimensions. So when we apply Ephesians 6, we see that God has given us multidimensional supernatural weapons to defeat the devil and the evil one. You have been given extraordinary supernatural power, supernatural weapons, supernatural wisdom, if you use them by faith. So in Ephesians chapter 6, let's read the Word of God together. Ephesians chapter 6, it starts in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. So number one, we're told that we're to be strong in the Lord, not strong in ourselves and not weak in ourselves, but our true strength comes from the Lord. You know, you can exercise, be buffed out, you know, do nutrition, supercharge your immune system, run 40 miles a day, do whatever you want. You will be physically powerful, physically strong. But you will never have the ability to make yourself physically stronger than you could have made yourself if you invested in making yourself spiritually stronger. The spiritually stronger person in every situation will triumph over people who are merely physically or psychologically strong. Now, that doesn't mean it isn't important to be psychologically and physically strong, but the ultimate victory comes from being spiritually strong. So the Word of God tells us we need to be strong in the Lord. How are you and I strong in the Lord to fight all these spiritual battles? It simply means recognizing we're not strong in and of ourselves. And then it tells us why. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What does that mean? We're strong in the Lord because we allow ourselves to be filled with the power, the supernatural power, of his might through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we become supernaturally strong and victorious because we open ourselves up to being filled with the supernatural power of God and his might, which is the Spirit of God. And that's why in the book of Acts, it says that the disciples were clothed with power from on high. You as a believer, me as a believer, any believer who truly seeks God can be right now at this second clothed with power from on high. Now, if you've never been clothed with power from on high, I want to ask you a question. I don't want to insult you. I don't want to pick on you. There's a playful, hopefully you can pick up, there's a playful tone in my voice. Are you clothed with power from on high? And if you're not, or you're not sure, you can be. Remember, being clothed with power from on high is not just an emotion. Being clothed with power from on high is when you come before God in worship and ask him to clothe you and to fill you with power from on high, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you will worship and praise God and ask him to clothe you with power from on high, you will come to him. He will, at this very second, clothe you with power from on high, which means you will be supernaturally fortified and supernaturally strengthened so that you can supernaturally be victorious in all kinds of supernatural battles. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you might may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes or the strategies of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Okay, I want to share something with you that is practical and applicable. Right now, America is in a raging spiritual warfare. We see the evidence of that on many physical levels. The same thing could be said of many other nations on many other continents on planet Earth right now, and the European Union, etc. We are in the last days. Again, as we look at the warfare around us, it could tempt us to be frightened. It could tempt us to be dismayed. But God said to us as a command, he said to Joshua and Caleb, be not fearful or dismayed. Be not fearful or dismayed. Why? Because God has already given you a supernatural power that is so powerful that it can turn back, that it can eject the fallen angels, that it can drive back and destroy the fallen angels and Lucifer and his minions. It can drive back with great force all the people who are serving Lucifer and occult powers. There's a greater power than all of this, and that's the power in the name of Jesus Christ, who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So what do we how do we deal with this chaos threatening to seize and tear down America right now? Well, the way we deal with this chaos and this terror, which is threatening to destroy America right now, is we have to obey the Word of God, where it tells us that we're supposed to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We're in the greatest spiritual battle here in America. Make no mistake about it. Please make no mistake about it. If we lose this battle, we will move into totalitarianism and lose our freedoms. You can use your imagination all you want and have, you know, visions of sugar plum fairies and stuff, but hey, look, it's going to be bad. So we don't want to lose. So how do we win? We win by recognizing that victory comes from the Lord. That victory comes from the Lord. Now, if we think of all the entrenched chaos in our society, if we think of the powerful spiritual darkness operating at all levels of our society, the corruption, the evil, the Satanism, all kinds of dark stuff attacking every segment of our society, we all feel it. Okay, so what do we do? Okay, this is what we do. And the Lord is waiting upon us, his people, to do this. The Lord God Almighty. All these Christians are waiting for God to do something. All these Christians have gone into the passive mode or the idle mode, and they're waiting for God to do something. All these Christians are waiting, sitting around waiting for somebody to save them regarding their jobs, their money, whatever. The Pilgrims and Puritans didn't do that. Who are you waiting for? There's nobody coming, by the way. There's nobody coming. Your source is supposed to be God. Start repenting of the things that you have made an idol because you have made it your source instead of God. Start repenting with that. That's called real repentance. And begin to cry out to God and ask for wisdom, ask to be clothed with power from on high, ask him to supernaturally intervene. And above all, remember this. We are the supernatural body of Christ on planet Earth. There exists in the United States of America right now a remnant church, which is the supernatural body of Christ. If merely the remnant church alone, and this would hold true in the European Union or other nations and other continents, if the remnant church alone would simply rise in the spiritual authority that Jesus Christ has already given his supernatural body of Christ on earth, he's given us the keys of the kingdom. If the remnant church alone will obey the Lord, and the Lord says, where two or more of you are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. If the remnant church alone will gather together in prayer and agreement, we can release the supernatural power of God from heaven and ask Jesus to supernaturally intervene into every so-called spiritual military theater, every spiritual battlefield, and we can ask Jesus to turn this spiritual battle around 180 degrees. This is not just a greeting card slogan. When the Bible says all things are possible with God, that's exactly what it means. All things are possible with God. When the Bible says nothing is impossible with God, that's exactly what it means. Nothing is impossible with God. We must understand the full extent, weight, and incredible supernatural authority that God has invested in every believer. And it's time for you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, to throw off the things of childhood, to throw off the things of spiritual immaturity, and it's time for you right now, in the name of Jesus, to rise under the anointing God has already given you. It's time for you right now, as a man or a woman of God, to rise under the anointing, to rise under the power that God is pouring out upon you right now. As you're listening to this program, the Paul McGuire Report, we're not relying on emotion or manipulation or anything else. We're simply communicating to you right now the reality from a biblical worldview that the infinite personal living God of the universe pre-planned for you to be here for such a time as this, in this time zone, to be victorious in this spiritual battle. Failure is not an option. And if God's people, the remnant church, a dedicated minority, will come together in agreeing prayer and come boldly before the throne of grace by appropriating the blood of Jesus, we can ask Jesus Christ to rise from his throne and send down his angelic armies, his supernatural power, and break the strongholds of Satan to destroy the demonic powers. And we can claim, I want you to hear this, I'm very serious about what I'm saying to you. God wants us to not only pray for America, God wants us to literally use the keys of the kingdom and claim America, reclaim America, to return to Jesus Christ. That's what God wants. That's the covenant that the Pilgrims and Puritans entered into. And we have a divine call to do that in these last days because God has a prophetic plan for America. Would you join me in a quick word of prayer? I feel the presence of the Lord here, and I feel, along with the presence of the Lord, the sense of a holy and divine assignment. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you now. Each one of us humble ourselves before you, Jesus. Jesus, we ask that you would cleanse us of all our sins, past, present, and future. Lord, we ask that the blood of Jesus Christ would cleanse us of all sins and we receive your righteousness by faith in Christ Jesus. Lord, we come boldly to the throne of grace right now to find an ever-present help in time of need. Lord, you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we worship you. We ask you, Jesus, on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ and unmerited favor, we ask you, Jesus, to rise from your throne right now and send your angelic armies, send your power, destroy Lucifer's battle plan. And Father, right now in the name of Jesus, as an army of intercessors all over the world, Lord, as an army of intercessors all over the world, we come together in agreeing prayer and we lay hold of right now in the authority of Jesus Christ. We claim right now in the authority of Jesus Christ, we claim the rulership, governance, and future and destiny for the United States of America. We claim this nation for Jesus Christ. And we claim every other nation that is being named before the throne room of God by our other brothers and sisters who live in different nations in the world right now. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess repentance. We sinned. We violated the covenant the Pilgrims and Puritans made with you in so many ways. Forgive us with the blood of Jesus, Lord. We repent. Lord, we ask God, we claim the destiny for America. Lord, specifically, we claim, we lay hold of the destiny for America that you granted to the Pilgrims and Puritans when they entered into a covenant with you. But we confess, Lord, that we sinned and we violated the covenant in Deuteronomy 28. And thus, massive curses have come upon us, Lord, because we violated your covenant. Lord, we repent for worshiping idols. We repent, Lord, for not hearkening diligently into the voice of the Lord thy God. And we repent, Lord, of not serving you and worshiping you alone as God. We repent of worshiping idols. And Lord, we take authority over the heart and soul of this nation and other nations being prayed for around the world. And we claim America for Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we claim America back for you. We reclaim what was lost, God, in the name of Jesus. We don't come to you on anything else but the blood of Jesus and unmerited favor and grace, which means unmerited favor. It's on that basis and the basis of the prayers of your remnant that we claim America back for you right now, today, at this very minute. We claim our nation, our government, this election, our laws, our legal system, our economy, our churches, our society, every aspect of America and other nations, we claim for your kingdom. And we claim and release that your prophetic destiny and your prophetic plans for America would be released, and that the power of the serpent would be broken off America, that the power of the devil would be broken off America right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as large numbers of us are praying together right now, and you name the name of your nation, your state, your continent, you have to pray that. I can't pray where you're living. You pray it. We're agreeing with you. God has a plan for many nations. God wants a global revival. That means he wants to work in your nation. So Lord, we claim the release of these revivals right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray a binding on the voices of false prophets in America and the rest of the world, Lord. Lord, we curse the mouths of the false prophets. We ask that their teeth would shatter, Father, and they would be paralyzed from speaking lies in the name of Jesus. Now, God Almighty, your word says, whatever we ask in Jesus' name, it will be done for them. Father, with childlike faith, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus to invade America with the angelic armies, the chariots of fire. Turn this battle around. Let the power and dominion of the Lord rule and reign over our nation. Shore up the lawlessness. Take away the lawlessness and shore up lawfulness, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Build back our nation. Restore our nation. And most of all, Father, right now we humble ourselves before you. We, God, yes, we did. We repent for all the sins that invited hell and destruction. And we now come to you, God, and we ask that we would fulfill your last day's assignment as individuals and as a nation. And we ask, God, in the name of Jesus, that millions of souls would be saved in the great last day soul harvest. We ask for all of this in Jesus' name, Father, based on your grace, based on your blood. Move now, Father. Destroy the devices of the serpent and the adversary. Move swiftly, Father. Detonate this confusion in the invisible realm. Send in your chariots of fire. We praise you for the victory, Father. And now, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, we confess to you that much of the church is dry, spiritually dead. We repent for our sins and their sins. And Father, in the book of Acts, as the church was worshiping you and praising you, which we do now, we ask that you would clothe each one of us, clothe our gatherings, our meetings, clothe us with power from on high, Father. And not only that, Father, on the basis of faith, we ask that right now in the name of Jesus, that you would pour out upon us and through us, that you would infuse in us right now at this very second, a biblical third great awakening. We ask, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that a biblical third great awakening would erupt in America and move from one coast to the other coast, bringing revival, deliverance, salvation, and a biblical third great awakening. We do not deserve this, Lord. We know it, but we ask that this biblical third great awakening would sweep around the world, preparing the world for your second coming. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. The burden of this is very heavy on my heart. I'm very serious about this. I need your help to move forward in this spiritual battle. And I ask those of you that are spiritual prayer warriors to pray for me, my family, this ministry. And I need your prayers like never before. I need those of you that spread these messages on the internet that help us promote social media and get around the rigging and the censorship. I need your help, brothers and sisters. I'm tossing you the ball. You got to help me with this. We have a nation to climb back. And I thank you in advance for your obedience. And finally, as we increase our effectiveness, our victories, and the intensity of the spiritual battle, I ask, Father, that you would put a prayer burden on every person listening, and they would go before you in prayer, and they would simply ask you, Jesus, what would you have me give Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church in terms of donations, a gift, or finances? What would you have me give as a one-time gift, as a blessing gift, if you bless me in some extraordinary way, Lord, that you'll covenant to the Lord to sow that into this ministry or where God guides you to, or just your regular faithfulness is appreciated. But I'm asking that you ask the Lord to speak to you, and then whatever God tells you to do, that's it. Not more, not less. Whatever God tells you to do, obey him. This brother I know, the Lord spoke to him. I could tell by when he donated, and he gave it. I'm sure it was a big sacrifice for him. But I know the Lord's going to bless him because the reason he gave was his heart was right. His heart was on fire for this nation. Together we can do this. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. Take advantage of our bundle book offers. Watch the Roku channel, Paul McGuire Ministries. You can watch hundreds of hours of Paradise Mountain Bible prophecy teachings I've given at Paradise Mountain Church and conferences and TV shows and all kinds of stuff. Plug into all of our social media and make sure you subscribe, like, join, follow. It's imperative. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Remember, it's not about your feelings. Fight the good fight of faith. This is Paul McGuire. God bless you. Visit paulmcguire.us.